Exodus chapter 4. Thank you, Jennifer. I guess Grant was the first one back to his seat. So based on his homeschool records that I know of, he needs a Smarties. Hey, man, here you go, Grant. I told you I'd give you some candy. And it was a good throw and a bad catch. All right, Exodus chapter 4 this evening. Exodus chapter 4. And good to see everybody here this evening. All right, as we continue on our series of Believe to See on the Wednesday evenings services here, I want to talk about Moses and how this is important. Last week we talked about Abraham and how God just really wanted him to, I guess, convince him his own self that you could believe to see because of the stars, and he had to look at the stars. And so let's go ahead and read some verses and then pray and have you be seated and I'll give you a little bit of review and then we'll go from there. Verse number one, the Bible says this, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, boy, I could take some time on that, but let me just say real quickly, I think that's the problem many Christians have. We don't have enough confidence that God is with us, that God has even appeared with us, so we don't want to face the crowd. So watch what God does. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses, like the real man he was, fled from before it. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, take it by the tail. And he took it by the hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this truth tonight. Encourage our hearts this evening as we continue to think about the subject of believing to see. And I pray that you'd help us all. Thank you for the church planting conference where many of our men and several families are there this week. Pray that you bless that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. By the way, there's a good report coming out from there. I've talked to some of the men that are there. And they're having a great time at the church planting conference there in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So last week I brought up the idea or showed you from the Bible how God wanted to show Abraham what was going to happen. And by the way, as we already mentioned it, we mentioned last week, this May will be the 70-year birthday and anniversary of Israel becoming a nation again. And can I just say this tonight? If you even take the Bible tonight and just let's just step outside of that for a little while and realize that world history shows the significance of the nation of Israel. And you can argue all you want, but boy, Israel is so significant in world history and so significant in just the whole dynamic of the world. Then you bring the Bible back into it and it just proves all over again how powerful God is and how God, everything God prophesies happens. I say this statement often as I preach and I'll say it again here. I said it as I travel a lot. God's prophecy always becomes history. Isn't that a blessing to know that? This Bible's full of prophecies. At one time they were prophecies only, and now we have the luxury of looking back on them as historical promises that were fulfilled, and God is able to do that. And so tonight, God is going to show Moses himself before, watch us now, Moses shows himself to the people. Now, God has a desire to show himself strong in our lives. But the problem is most of us in this world today have the philosophy of the world, which is seeing first is believing. Now, in this passage, some would say, well, preacher, actually, God almost gives him that see to believe idea here, but really I'm going to challenge you to get you to realize that though he throws a rod down and it turns into a snake, Moses is going to learn right away that if he just believed God, all things are possible. Because you don't just drop a stick on the ground and it turns into a snake. Let's go ahead and settle the snake issue tonight. How many of you hate snakes and you're terrified of snakes? All right? I think the poisonous ones are dangerous, but I love snakes. You know why? Because I hate mice more. And I like animals that eat mice. So how many are okay with snakes? Snakes don't bother you a whole lot. How many think the snakes got a bad rap because of the book of Genesis? I mean, come on, help me now. I mean, it wasn't the serpent's fault that the devil possessed the serpent. I know Brad Mitchell said, you hate snakes, right? You kill them every time you see them, even if it's not a poisonous snake. All right, let's say that again. How many are terrified of snakes again? All right, so more people. How many don't mind snakes? They're okay. I actually catch them and play with them sometimes, unless they're poisonous, but I'll play with snakes, pick them up. And we have an old video of me as several years ago. I picked up a snake and was playing on it. And I tried to imitate that Australian guy I know, Steve Irwin. I was talking with an Australian accent and talking in his... Anyway, remember that, sis? Yeah, she remembers that. All right, but anyway, I guess it didn't impress y'all as much. All right, but this will be here in Exodus chapter 4. So number one, I want you to see this. Okay, first of all, I want you to notice before I make the statement that God tonight wants to show himself to all of us. That's what he wants. God wants to show himself to all of us this evening. And because we have, I think, bought the lie of the world that we have to believe or see first to believe, we miss out on the opportunity to exercise faith. And yet, what we can do as Christians, watch this now, watch this interesting cycle that takes place. When we, watch this now, believe to see, then the world that watches us will see to believe. That sounds like a strange statement, but the fact is, the world needs to see Christians who have strong faith. Matthew chapter 5 talks about how we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And God wants to touch our lives so much so that we show the world how real he is. It's like almost evidence to the world that God is in our lives and functioning in our lives and blessing our lives, that they then see it. And then watch this now. I know it sounds strange. We believe to see, they see to believe us, but then they believe to see God. You following that process here? And that's exactly what's going to happen in this story. Because I want you to think about it, okay? Moses has several excuses in this chapter. He tells God, I'm not a good speaker. Let's be honest tonight. He lied to God. And God calls him on because Moses was a very talented man. The Bible tells us that he was trained in the expertise of Egypt. He knew their culture. He probably went to their best schools. And Moses was the man. I mean, he was third in command over Egypt pretty much. He had a lot of control, a lot of power. But yet maybe we'll give him this. We'll cut him some slack because he's been 40 years away just talking to sheep for a long time. You say, well, how, what's that like? It's like being a pastor preaching to sheep for a long time. I'm halfway there. And maybe after 40, I'll finally see a burning bush and get some help. Somebody say amen right there. But anyways, but Moses has been out in this desert for 40 years. And we know the story. He sees the bush and he's open to it. And he lets God speak to him, but he still has some resistance and reserve. And in his defense tonight, understand that Moses knew the cry of Israel and he knew that God had been taking, watch this now, a long time to deliver his people. And Moses is finally figuring out, I'm the one that God's going to use. So watch this again, okay? The Bible says, God tells him. So his first excuse is, they won't listen to me. They won't hearken to me. Why would anybody listen to me? So God doesn't really say a whole lot. He just asks him a question. God loves to ask questions. He said, what's in your hand? He says, I have a rod. He says, okay, drop it on the ground. It drops on the ground and becomes a serpent, a snake. Moses runs like the man he is. But don't be too mean. He didn't have shotguns back then. Unless the aliens gave him some. That's a very possible, that's a possibility. But anyway, so I love to talk about the aliens. Amen. Who built the pyramids? All right, look at verse number 2. It says, and he said, a rod. Now, by the way, Moses gives God an answer. And tonight I think God has a question for all of us. He wants to know what's in your hand. What is in your hand tonight? Not what's in your wallet. All right, but anyway, what's in your hand tonight? What do you have in your hand? Everybody has something in their hand that God can use to show himself to you. All right, so now let me give you the statements. Number one, believe to see so you can have an experience. Believe to see so you can have an experience. Now watch this. Here's where sometimes my independent Baptist brethren will get a little critical on this truth, but let me just show you what's happening here. Okay, look at verse 1 again. They will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In other words, the Jews are saying, where's the evidence? We want to see it first, then we'll believe. And Moses is like, hey God, I don't have any evidence of that. Now, jump down to verse number 29, same chapter, Exodus chapter 4. Things are going to change from verse 1 to verse 29. The Bible says this, and Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the, next word, signs in the sight of the people. And the Bible says, in the people, next word, help me now, the people what? They believed. Now watch this. This is significant because these people are going to, don't miss this now, they're going to believe that Moses is the man, but still God is not a see it and believe it God first. He still wants us to believe to see first. Again, that cycle, don't miss it, church. We believe to see, the world sees to believe us, then they believe to see, and it's a beautiful cycle that takes place. So these people needed to see that God was with Moses, and he said, whoa, if God's with him, then God might want to be with me. So yeah, it takes an experience. So here's where sometimes people will get a little nervous and anxious a little bit. Watch this. Salvation, everything in the Bible is by faith, black and white, right? I agree. I'm saved tonight because the Bible tells me I am. But can I be honest and open tonight? I had a salvation experience too. And there's nothing wrong with talking about that. God's not spooked out by that. Yes, we have faith in the Word of God. But let me help you with something tonight. It's okay to feel God. It's okay to have some emotional attachment to God. If my wife comes tonight and says, why are you married to me? I'll say the law of the state of Pennsylvania recognized it. The laws of the state of Missouri recognize it. We are bound by law. That's not very romantic. The law says we're married. But if I say you are hot, you're beautiful, can I smooch you? Things change. I mean, I can hold a piece of paper, don't feel a whole lot about it, but I can kiss you and feelings change. Somebody help me right there. And so there's a balance there. And I believe we need a generation of Christians that actually, hold on now, experience God. Experience Him. See, the Old Testament saints are about to find out, because Moses is the one that's going to give it to them, that everything's going to be by the law. But when God starts using people, God does not mind revealing Himself to you in such a way that you experience God, you feel God. Oh, taste and see, that's an Old Testament verse, that the Lord is good. I mean, church, look at it. We have got to understand that God wants to give us experiences. So, all right, number one, believe to see by personal experiences. So let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Have you experienced the salvation? Biblical salvation. Are you a child of God? Has your name been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you a saved individual tonight? Why? Tell me why you're saved. Help me. Somebody tell me. Why are you saved tonight? Why do you know? Why did you just say heartily, amen, I know I'm saved. Tell me. Somebody help me. How do you know you're saved tonight? Come on. It's not a trick question. I'm actually asking a question. My dad, that's the first answer. The Bible tells me so. Great. I agree. And that should be the number one answer. You want to add to that? Brother Gary? You believed in your heart. I love that. You believe in your heart. I was standing on this platform just almost 2 weeks ago. And Trevor was standing here, and I remember telling him, get ready, because you need to remember this day when that bride comes down the aisle for the first time and you see her in that dress. Because it's been over 20 years now, and I can still remember right here in my mind, mostly in my heart, when I saw my wife come around that corner in that white dress, and my father-in-law was there. He was there, but I wasn't looking at him. I love my father-in-law, but I was not looking at him at all. I remember just tears flooding my eyes because I saw in my eyes the most beautiful woman on this planet who's about to come and take my hand and take my last name. Okay, so the law. So the Bible tells me so. But come on, church. You know why God let Moses change it to a serpent so that Moses would run away and then come back and pick it up? Because God wanted Moses to experience God, because we are made in His image, and it's okay to have experiences of God. It's okay to cry because you've been flooded by God. It's okay to laugh because God touched your heart. I do believe there's people out there that abuse it. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, it's okay to feel something when you hear about God. When the youth choir sings, it's okay to sit out there and smile instead of look like you're sitting in a dentist's waiting room. I can do it for 20 seconds. Some of you have been doing it for 20 minutes. Somebody help me right there. Come on now. Moses dropped it. He was like, ah! He took off running. You think he felt something there? Sure he did. But he was believing to see by experience. Now watch this. Number two. This is important. That leads to the next step. Once you believe to see by an experience, then you believe to see by example. Because I have experienced God, I now want to show my children some things or particulars I've done so that they can experience God. Let me tell you something tonight. I know the Jews had their issues. Lots of issues. Complaining and all the problems. But when those 10 I like what one preacher said. He said, we ought to call them 10 plagues. But he said, really, we should call them 10 miracles. They were plagues to the Egyptians, but they were miracles to the Jews. Amen? God was paving the way for Israel, the Jews, to be delivered from the oppressive regime of Egypt. And those people, when they started to see the locusts and the punishment, and they just see the earth dark for 3 days, and they saw the death of the moraine, and they saw the frogs, and they saw the water turn to blood, they looked at each other and said, man, our water's pure. It's great. We don't have a problem with frogs. We ate some frog legs tonight, but that's about all we had. Amen. I mean, you can just think about just the principles there. You see, when one person experiences God, it then becomes contagious, because the example of one person's experience can make a difference in the lives of so many others. All right, look at this. Now, this is important now. Because, watch, verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, how many of you tonight would say, that's good enough for me? If I drop a stick and it becomes a snake, and then I pick it back up and it becomes a rod again, I'm done. I believe God. How many of you believe that? I mean, come on. But God's not done. Look at verse number 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, white as snow, leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again, and he put his hand in his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and again it turned again as the other flesh. How about you? I'd rather play with snakes than have leprosy on my hand. What is God teaching? Everything's about his hands right now. Don't miss this truth now, church. God says when you have an experience serving God or an experience in relation to God, then you start to show with your hands others so they might see your example in this whole beautiful process or cycle of believing to see. So, youth in our church, not even the youth, God has a beautiful design for authority. There's authority. God condones authority. Amen. That's why I support our law enforcement. I don't like seeing those beautiful Christmas lights in my mirror, but I support law enforcement. Amen. There has to be some kind of authority. There has to be a structure that we adhere to. And God put structure in the home. He put structure in government, and he put structure in the church. And one of the purposes of a pastor today is not to use the pulpit to abuse the people, but as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, to lead the flock by what? Help me now. What's the word he says? Example. It's my job to tell you, man, hey, I'm where you're at, but I've experienced God and you can too. We can all experience God. This is not a Catholic church where there's an ex-cathedra where there's a separation between the hierarchy and the clergy. No, we're all members of one body, and Jesus Christ is the head, which means if I can taste of God this morning, you can too. And when I experience God and I share it with you by example, then you say, I want to experience God. And then you share it by example. Then your children say, I want to experience God. And then they show it by example. And then your coworkers say, wow, something's different about you. Something's different inside of you. You've had experiences that I've not had. I actually believe something because I've seen it to you. And then you turn around and teach them to believe to see. And then it becomes a beautiful cycle. And that's why 2,000 years later, we still have church. Because this is a principle. Watch this now. Moses isn't a pastor. Moses isn't starting a church. But God's teaching a principle that when you believe him to see, then others will see to believe. And then they will believe to see in their own lives. All right, so number one, you believe to see by experience. And I hope this Wednesday night crowd, I hope we could have testimonies that you have experienced God in your life. Maybe it was an answer to a specific prayer. Maybe it was something God did for you financially. Maybe it was the salvation of a loved one in your family. Can I tell you something tonight? If we haven't experienced God in a while, it's not his fault, church. He wants you to drop the rod and pick it up. He wants you to see your hand turn leprous and turn healed again. In other words, God wants to show you that he is able. You just have to be willing to answer the question, what's in my hand? All right, number one, believe to see by experience. Number two, believe to see by example. Number three, believing to see is essential. It's a must. It is a must for this subject of believe. See, I think we'll see this example most beautifully displayed in the life of Jesus Christ. Because it sounds almost funny or almost like an oxymoron, but it's not. Stay with me now. Jesus is teaching his disciples about the subject of faith. That's if we asked an honest, simple question, what was the number one subject Jesus wanted his disciples to get before he died and left this earth, died, was buried, rose again, and ascended? What would be his answer? I believe he would say, I wanted to teach my disciples more than anything else the subject of faith. Is that a fair assumption? I mean, maybe we could argue about some other things, but I'm sure faith, if it's not the number one, it's in the top five. Jesus wanted to teach his disciples faith. So how did he do it? You know what he did? He just went out and started changing people's lives. And the disciples, stay with me now, don't miss the cycle, they saw it and believed. They actually saw it first, then believed. Can you imagine walking down the street or walking through a hospital with Jesus Christ and every person he walks by in the hallway is getting up and leaving the hospital? And by the time he leaves that building in 30 minutes, the whole building's empty? Just come on, help me now. Could you? That's what Jesus did. And these men saw it for 3.5 years. But they understood that Jesus was believing to see also, humanly speaking. And though they saw it in his life, they knew that I have to believe to see so that others can see to believe so that they can believe to see. It becomes a triangle. Watch this. I come here, I believe to see. They look at me, they see to believe. Then they go up and they believe to see. And it's a beautiful cycle that takes place. Goes round and round and round. And the evidence is in this very same chapter. Because for sake of time, we could read on down and find out that Moses still made some excuses, still tried to put things off. And God even gives it to him and says, fine, we'll let your brother Aaron talk. Mama! Poor Moses, he don't want to talk. Aaron can be your spokesperson. You know what's funny? It wasn't long before it was Moses talking to Pharaoh all the time, not Aaron. Aaron kind of got it started. Moses finally said, I got this. But let's watch what happens. Again, we'll read verse 29. I'm almost through. All right. So number one, you believe to see by experience. You experience God. Yes, we know what the laws and the words of God says. And I thank God I'm saved because the Bible says so. My dad just said it. He's exactly right. But I also can say because I believe in my heart. Brother Gary just said, I believe in my heart. I experience God right here. It's a feeling. It's okay to feel. I hope sometimes when the youth choir sings are special, you feel something right here. If your feeler's broken, get it fixed quickly. I can recommend a good repairman. His name's the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit repair that. I mean, we ought to come to church sometimes and sit down and just get overwhelmed and flooded with the joy of God and experience God. You say, man, that's a little charismatic. No, it's not. It's Bible church. It's biblical. It's okay to wave your hands in praise. Heaven's going to be a pretty happy place. It's going to be so loud, my parents won't be deaf no more. Wow. Amen and amen. So you believe to see by experience. You believe to see by example. And then you see that believing to see is essential. All right, now watch. Let's look at verse number 8. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. God thought of everything. God said, Moses, your excuses ain't going to cut it. All right. There's some times in the Bible where God is going to make you serve the Lord. If you don't believe me, ask Jonah. Jonah ran, even volunteered to be drowned, sat in the belly of a Baptist whale for 3 days, and then got puked up on shore. And he had a bad attitude the whole time, but God still used him. His attitude literally stank. Amen. And God says, Moses, you are the man. And I believe tonight if we could take a microphone to heaven, Moses would say he never had a regret. That he was the man God used. Because, by the way, Moses saw a side of God that very few people ever saw. Because he was willing. He finally learned the power of willingness. Now watch this. In verse number 8, God gives him this plan. In verse 29 again, and we'll read this and we're just about through. Oftentimes we say these emotional feelings are far-fetched. No, they're God-fetched. God can do those things. I oftentimes have people come and say, hey, just a minute, you really are a Pentecostal, aren't you? I say, no, I'm a Baptistal. And pray tell me why there's church out there shouting about being saved, and we come to our Baptist church and nobody's excited anymore. Come on now. Don't look at me funny. I've seen parents in this room at their kids' basketball games. Oh, yeah. I see you. Man, it got quiet right there. Ooh. It's all preaching, you meddling. Oh, yeah, I'm getting in your grill now. I just don't do that in church. Well, why would you do that at a basketball game, not at church? Why would we get excited because little Bobby shot a three-pointer? He got his first armpit hair. Bing! And he shot a three-pointer. Yeah! And then we come to church. Help me now. Somebody help me. Please help me. I know it's cold out there, but it has to be cold in here. Help me, somebody. Help me, Lord. Because it becomes contagious. Believe to see by experience. Believe to see by example. Believe to see is essential. Verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. Watch this. This is a beautiful principle too, by the way. They didn't gather all of Israel. They gathered the leaders because they're going to show them. And guess what happens? Guess what those elders are going to do? Tell me what they're going to do. They're going to run to those people and say, hey, we found our leader. And those people are going to trust the elders because they've been watching them for a while and know they're in leadership. And it becomes a cycle. It becomes contagious. And guess what happens not long after this? They leave Egypt. Did you hear that? They leave Egypt. Why? Because Moses saw God change a stick to a snake and back to a stick. Is that what it was? No, God was teaching Moses a principle. If you will believe to see, they will see you as a leader, then they will believe to see. And some people caught it. How about Joshua? He caught it. How about Caleb? He caught it. How about David? He got a hold of this principle. Peter, James, John, Paul. Hopefully some of us in this room have got a hold of this principle. Verse 29, they went and got all the elders of the children of Israel. I'm almost through. Verse 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And the people believed. Now watch this, and I'm done. And when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Can I ask you a question? Did they worship Moses? Did they bow their heads to Moses? No. When that cycle comes full circle, everybody recognizes he's worthy of the worship. He did it. Why do we lose the second, third generation Christians so much? I believe tonight. It's because we don't believe to see. So that they can see to believe. So that then they can believe to see for themselves. My kids have grown up in a home where church is not an option. Church is priority. We go to church. Church is important to my family. It was important to me and her first. But now, it's gone to the kids. Want proof? A week ago Sunday night, my kids said, Daddy, we hate being home on Sunday night. I know we had an afternoon service, but, oh, we need to be in church. They were just talking. I was like, "What? It's becoming theirs. My God is their God. My salvation is their salvation. Look, the second generation can't ride our coattails because they'll eventually let go. They've got to find an experience for themselves. But we got to be parents and leaders that believe to see. So they see to believe, and eventually they believe to see. See, we got the first part down. We got to finish the cycle. And then God gets all the glory. Had your bad eyes closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight.